And we are not trying to reproduce that cross, but it does remind us of that cross. And for all that we understand, we together confess, we cannot begin to comprehend all that you've done for us. We know it, most of us here gathered. We know it, we can tell it. But awaken us again tonight to the glory, the splendor, but yes, also the agony. Thank you for taking up your cross. Jesus, it was so heavy, because upon it were the sins of the whole world. And any of us, if we just reflect on ourselves and we think of the weight of our own sins, at least the ones we know, and then we multiply that. Thank you is not adequate. But Jesus, thank you. Thank you for carrying the weight of our sin and our shame and our condemnation. Thank you for taking it to Calvary to make a once and for all payment of which you would say, it is finished. Thank you that it is finished tonight by and through and ultimately for your name. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. If you are a guest, family member from out of town in for the weekend, thank you. For the ones the rain kept away, I already put my thoughts online, so if they care to, they can go later. You may notice to my right and left tables with two jars and two towels. And that's what I want to speak about briefly tonight. A towel. And that Jesus took a towel. I want to look at foot washing tonight. If I just made you nervous, we're not concluding with literal foot washing. So relax. But it does symbolize something we're going to peer into tonight. And I want to say from the outset, I was reading a devotional a few weeks back, and some of my reflections are informed and inspired by the wise insight of a passed away saint named Anna Lindgren. So it's a mix of that devotion and my own. And if you want, you can open to John 13. We'll get there in just a moment. But John 13, it takes us into one of the final moments Jesus had with his disciples before his arrest and crucifixion. And in a sense, that moment encapsulates, it depicts everything he came to do and why each and every one of us is in need of what Jesus accomplished upon the cross. But right before chapter 13, in John 12, is the triumphal of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, and 6 days before he would give his life up upon the cross. And we read in John 12 about an encounter, a foot washing. John 12, 1 through 7 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." Now, I think it's easy in this account to focus in on Judas. He was not concerned for the poor. The text tells us that. He was only concerned that if the perfume wasn't sold, he wouldn't be able to help himself to the proceeds. But beyond Judas and others, we know with certainty the other 11 disciples were there. They heard Jesus' commendation of Mary. Her love, her devotion, and gratefulness for Jesus were on full display for all the disciples to see. Lazarus, her brother, was there, so recently raised from the dead, a foreshadowing of another resurrection that was coming. And so Mary's overflowing with gratitude and wonder for Jesus, and she expresses that in her exceedingly generous act. Now, Matthew 26, Mark 14, they record the same foot washing, but Luke 7 records another account of a woman washing Jesus' feet and anointing him with oil that appears to be separate from the one I just read from John 12. The details, the timing are vastly different. Whereas we're told it's Martha in three Gospels, in Luke's account of another foot washing, the woman is unnamed. But we know something of her character because Simon the Pharisee, in whose house this foot washing took place, Simon the Pharisee, who had invited Jesus over to his house, was musing in his heart this way. Luke 7:39 records it. Now when the Pharisee, that's Simon, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Simon the Pharisee knew who she was, and so he's looking on with astonishment and incredulity that Jesus was letting this woman, a sinner, actually touch his feet, kiss his feet, and wipe his feet with her hair. Now, Jesus knows exactly what's going on in Simon's heart. And so right after this display of love, he looks to Simon and he says, "Simon, I'd like to share with you a story. There was a moneylender, Simon, and he had two debtors. One owed a smaller amount, the other owed a larger amount, but neither one of them could pay their debt. Which one of them, Simon, do you believe will love the moneylender more?" Simon gave the right answer. Well, the one with the greater debt. He knew that, but he didn't understand that Jesus was talking to him. That's the thing with self-righteousness, isn't it? We claim to see how wicked and sinful other people are. Simon knew this woman was a sinner, all the while blind or indifferent to the darkness and sin within him. We all, I think, can attest that we can spot the specks in others so easily, doing so while swinging a plank from our own eye. So we have these two accounts of someone washing Jesus' feet, and both accounts, we know the disciples were all there. Did they understand? Sadly, the final meal with Jesus before his betrayal and arrest revealed they did not understand. The disciples then, and have you noticed, disciples now are slow to learn. Now, in a sense, the Last Supper portrayed the sinfulness of us all, though it was a real event for these 12 disciples. And I think among the other events prior to the crucifixion, the resurrection, it confronts us with the antidote to the trivial sentimentality we can bring to Easter. In the midst of painting Easter eggs, which is fun, we'll do 5 dozen of them in my home tomorrow, putting toy bunnies around the house and buying dresses for little girls and Easter pastels, there's a harsh reality that all of the world's attempts to sanitize cannot change. Easter is about wicked sinners who have no hope unless there is a Savior. past the cheers and shouts of the crowd as Jesus rode into Jerusalem for the Passion Week, is one disappointment after another with the disciples, beginning with the one Chris spoke of a few weeks ago. They're all cheering as Jesus weeps because he knows you don't even understand. It was reality for them that week, but it's really a picture of us all. They failed utterly and miserably. I fail utterly and miserably. Think of just a few of the moments in that final earthly week of Jesus in Jerusalem. The disciples are arguing over who is the most loyal, who is the greatest, who will be at his right and who will be at his left. Not only Judas, all in their own way would betray Jesus. Peter gives the most obstinate denial of them all, denying he ever knew Jesus, all the while looking Jesus in the eyes, the same one who hours earlier said, "I'll never deny you, although all these idiots will." They all fell asleep at his command to stay awake and alert. And here, in the upper room, during the Last Supper, not one disciple would pick up the towel. There it was, over at the entrance, the water, the basin, the towel. Each one walked right by it, not one of them picking it up. Someone has said the disciples' worst moments would serve to underscore the world's greatest truth. It's true, isn't it? In our lives, our worst moments underscore our greatest need. Not one disciple would rise from the table, so Jesus rose from the table. Let's watch him. John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, which means he's loving them as he's simultaneously watching none of them move, none of them willing to serve the other. He's loving them. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and they'd come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. Friends, right to the very end, he's serving, serving, serving. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "What I'm doing you do not understand now, but after you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." So who took the towel in the upper room that night? Well, we know, yes, Jesus took the towel. But I mean, step back. Who took the towel? Yes, Jesus, incarnate man, that night took the towel. But who else took the towel? The one who, looking down from transcendent glory upon abysmal darkness, said, "Let there be light." That one took the towel. The one who, beholding the chaotic water, said, "Be gathered together into the seas and let land appear." And at his word, it was done. That one took the towel. The one who gave the sun its place and the moon and flung the stars. The one who measures the ocean in the hollow of his hand, who weighs the mountains of scales, who spreads out the fabric of the universe with his fingers. That's the one who took the towel. The one who speaks in the voice of thunder, who makes lightning his messengers and flames of fire his ministers, took the towel. The one who uses heaven as his throne and the earth as his footstool took the towel. The one who leads the hearts of kings like water and at whose bidding nations come and nations go He took the towel. The one who is the great I am, with no beginning, with no end, took the towel. The one who is the source of all things, he's the one who rose and took the towel. The one by whom and for whom all things are made, took the towel. The one in the room who shouldn't have had to take the towel, took the towel. Because any of the ones who should have taken the towel would not condescend to take the towel. Which leads us to, who did he take this towel for? Well, literally, yes, on that night, a dozen indistinct fishermen, one a traitor, all too dull to stay awake. But ultimately, those dozen indistinct fishermen are just representative of the world, of me, of you, small-souled people who won't get up from the table. Men who he called friends, men who, as John 13:1 tells us, men who he loved and loved and loved to the end. Those who can inflict the deepest wounds are those closest to us, right? Those we call friends. 3 years of pouring out his life for them. So little did they learn, so little did they understand. Do we understand? He took the towel for them, for us. Why? Why did he take the towel? Well, yes, the short answer is because none of them would. But John 13, verses 12 through 16 give us the bigger answer. When he'd washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. So if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should also do just as I've done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Jesus stooped to the menial task of a servant. It begs the question, what is the measuring rod of greatness with Jesus? I think it's stooping, getting low, serving. He that is great among you, let him serve. He took the towel. Why? Well, the task was necessary. It wasn't for show. No servant arrived to perform it. None of the disciples had learned from the example of Mary of Bethany or the unnamed sinful woman. No disciple on that night, with their contentious, self-righteous, rivaling, arrogant spirits, would condescend and stoop to this lowly service. So, the Creator of the world did. And in washing their feet, he washed their hearts. And in the presence of his humility, all their bitterness, envy, unkindness, and wrath would vanish, and their souls would be cleansed. Will we take the towel? That's my question tonight. Will we take the towel? They could not have realized that night that what he was doing there was just a little window into what he was going to do in just a few more hours on a grander, grander scale. We're never asked to take his cross, are we? We can't do that. There's something Jesus did none of us can do, even if we wanted to do it. Even if I wanted to be impaled on that cross and crucified for you, would it accomplish anything? Nothing. Not only that, it wouldn't have even been necessary, because there has already been a once and for all final perfect payment for our sin. Jesus doesn't ask us to do that, but he does ask us, if you call me Lord and teacher, do as I do. Pick up the towel. Is there a church that is not bruised, wounded, and bleeding in some way because of pride and self-seeking among its own? Is there not a Christian of many years who does not carry about sensitive scars that repeatedly break open because a fellow Christian, a loved one, inflicted the wound, and the forgiveness that was asked, or perhaps not ever asked, didn't go deep enough to pour in the oil and the tears that heals and erases the hurt? Jesus knows that, and he took the towel. We carry within us, I can carry within me, super sensitivities to the slightest touch of real or imagined hurt, and I can wrap myself in my own self-righteousness and wounded pride. All the while, there are those around me who carry real pain and real hurt with great humility of heart. And yet, any of us were capable of carrying pettiness in our righteous indignation, and so when the moment comes, we won't leave the table and take the towel. We stay seated at the table and we carry that around with us, and the work of God in our lives is stifled because we won't take the towel. You know what I see so often in my small heart? I'm not great enough to get small enough. And like Simon, that Pharisee, we carry within us a much greater clarity sometimes on how we think and feel we've been sinned against than that we have sinned against the one who took the towel for us. He rose, removed his garment, stooped, washed. He took the towel. Ultimately, a few hours later, he'd do more than take a towel. He'd take everything you and I've ever done to scorn, reject, dishonor, and sin against him. He took it all. He took it all to the cross. And he washed you and me, not with water, but with his very own blood. And in so doing, we could be declared, the ones who wouldn't get up from the table, we could be declared the righteousness of God. He took the towel. He doesn't ask us to go to the cross. Not like he did. He does ask us to take the towel. What does it look like to take the towel? Well, perhaps it could literally mean that. But it was a different era. That was a different kind of need. You may think of your own ways. There are countless ways to take the towel. Can I suggest just a couple this Good Friday evening before we go to communion? Take the towel by treating others like you want to be treated. Amen. Take the towel by loving one another as you love yourself. Treat others like you treat yourself. Take the towel by being far more aware of your own debt than the debts of others. Take the towel by showing compassion to broken people around you because you know yourself to also be broken. Take the towel by going low, by stooping. Take the towel by controlling the tongue. That we would not be a people who bite and devour. We'd not be a people who separate close friends because of our words. But that our words would heal and give life. Take the towel with a simple yet daily needed reminder. Make the apostle's words your own when he said, "Here is a trustworthy saying deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of whom I'm the worst." Take the towel.